Welcome to Virtual Economy, a podcast about the business of games for the rest of us. We're your hosts. I'm Michael Footer.
And I'm Amanda Farrow.
In each episode, we'll cover the biggest business beats and bring in expert commentary from lawyers, analysts, and industry pros. But today,
of our second of two podcasts for virtual, my brain is Swiss cheese. We're talking about financials. Hooray! It's a bonus episode.
It's a bonus episode. So we talked about this.
Yep.
And around financial time, so every quarter, we're probably going to be doing one or two bonus episodes to pull out all of the big financial earnings stuff and the takeaways from that. Seems to make more sense for us to do it that way. Also, from just a you as a listener focusing in on what you want to listen to. If you're not interested in earnings, you're probably not listening to this right now. But for those of you who are,
we have earnings. We have a lot of earnings to go through. Well, we have three earnings to go through. But remember, we also went through
EA, Activision, Square Enix,
Capcom.
Did we do Capcom? There was a little bit of Capcom.
I think there was a
Capcom. Resident Evil did really well for Capcom.
We did a Capcom nod, potentially, but it's very much so a Monster Hunter World really helped Capcom last year. This year, it's all about that Resident Evil money.
Resident Evil, though, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Take-Two earnings, Ubisoft's earnings, and Embracer Group. Okay, so Embracer Group's a weird one.
Yep.
Remember that Embracer Group was the artist formerly known as THQ Nordic AB.
Yes, which was the artist formerly known as Nordic Games AB.
That's just, I literally can't with any of that. Anyway, yep. So we are going to dive right in. So Mike, take us through some of the Take-Two earnings. What were the big takeaways?
Take-Two had a killer year in 2019. Just a couple of the financial notes that I want to talk about before we get more to the narrative stuff. And that's kind of the way that we're going to be approaching the earnings. We'll call out the numbers where they're kind of noteworthy. But
the numbers tell stories.
They do.
And we want to tell the stories that we want to impart to you the stories that the numbers are telling. Because numbers are interesting, but they're not everything.
Correct. So Take-Two had record net bookings in 2019. Now, as you'll recall from a recent episode, I think it was our last episode where we talked about financial. So it must have been last week's news episode.
I think it was last week's news episode where we had another
term sheet.
I think we talked about net book. It might not have been last
week. It was about EA.
It was about EA. That's what it was. To talk about net bookings and how net bookings work. So that's a few episodes back.
Yes. Yes. Wow. So they had record net bookings of nearly $3 billion.
Oh my sweet mother of muffins. That is a lot of money.
And the holiday quarter was pretty darn good for Take-Two. They were up. Their net bookings were up 49% year over year.
Mm-hmm.
$729.4 million.
Whew. Damn.
Now let's talk about what they released, though.
See, that's the thing, is that there were a lot of decent releases last year.
There was WWE, which was not good.
No.
It was bad.
No, it was bad. Don't they also do, they do NBA 2K. Like that's
NBA 2K is kind of the big thing.
That's the really big one. And then there was also Gearbox, right?
Borderlands 3 did really well.
Borderlands 3 did really well. What else is...
There's some Private Division stuff that happened last year.
There's some good Private Division stuff, like Outer Worlds, which was amazing.
Yes. Red Dead Online.
Red Dead Online's another
one. So that
big
found
one.
Its footing, and, you know, it's not doing GTA.
It's not GTA
Online,
but it's definitely still holding its own. People are holding actual meetings in Red Dead Redemption.
I saw that story today, which is pretty interesting. I think it's really cool that we're seeing all of these virtual spaces where you can gather that aren't Zoom virtual backgrounds, whether that's Fortnite and Party Royale or it's Minecraft or RD Online, you know. But as you might expect, Grand Theft Auto Online still doing them big numbers. That is a huge driver
for Take-Two.
So Grand Theft Auto 5 originally came out in 2014. Was it 2014?
Was it 14?
No. Well, no. Here's the thing. I think it came out in 2013.
It might have been 13. I might be getting my years
mixed up. Because that was on last gen.
Yes, it was on Last Gen. I remember this because I was either, I think it might have been after Vivian was born.
Okay. It was September 17th, 2013, so it was mere months before the new generation started.
Right.
So Grand Theft Auto comes out on Xbox 360 and yep. PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then the new consoles come out.
Yep.
Then you have the PC version mm-hmm. that comes out. And this is masterful. And I will say this about Take-Two. With regard to its Rockstar stuff, it understands decay curves and the cadence of releasing on new platforms.
They got good business people yep. up in there.
And then you've got the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 versions that launch. And you've got GTA Online, where suddenly you have people who are expecting these meaty GTA 5 DLC packs, because GTA had been doing some really solid DLC.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And they're like, no, we're finally going to do the heists thing in GTA Online. And people buy those shark cards.
They really do.
That in-game currency.
And it makes money. It is consistently, if not in the top 10, then in the top 20 for North America.
It's been out for 6.5 years. And the funny thing is, it's like, who the heck is still buying GTA 5? Who doesn't own it? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have purchased it. I purchased it on Xbox 360.
We did too. I didn't play it, but our husband definitely bought it and played it.
I believe I then purchased it.
He went to the midnight release of that game, oh, wow. I think.
I believe I purchased it on PS4. I think I own it on PS4. And then hold on, let me look at the shelf.
He's going to the library.
Look at the library. Yep, there it is. So I own it on PS4. And then I purchased it on PC, like when I built the PC. And now there's this awesome mod that's out there to bring it. Because remember that we're talking about a 6.5-year-old game at this point.
I personally have only definitely not purchased it once on the Epic Game Store.
Well, so let's talk about that. I'm going to jump ahead.
Are we actually going to go there?
I'm going to go there. Okay. GTA 5 has sold 130 million copies in its 6.5 years.
And what did we talk about in our last episode? We talked about Minecraft in our last episode.
Which has sold 200 million copies.
And still had, and we talked about the monthly active users and stuff like that. But that's enormous. So one of the things about this is that, you know, a lot of this was laid out by our friend Dan Ahmad, who is a senior partner at Nico Partners. And Dan was saying that this is second only to Minecraft, unless you factor in Tetris, which was split across a number of releases.
Yeah, so you have the Tengen version, and there was the Game Boy version, and then of course, so, and this is Dan's commentary, because he went and did the research on this.
Totally.
You know, Tetris is a tough one, because of Tetris that game's interesting story. So who knows exactly.
But also go play the Tetris Effect.
Which is recently released on Oculus Quest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I've been hiding that one from you.
Uh-oh.
I figured I was going to lose you.
Boy, bye.
So here's the thing. Take-Two is planning on a lighter year for releases. They just released XCOM Chimera Squad.
Yes, which I have yet to play, but is sitting on my desktop going, play me.
Yeah. There is no WWE Sim this year, although they did announce a new arcade game. And
the arcade games are so fun.
I love Arcade The Rock and Arcade John Cena.
Okay, well, I've never played an arcade WWE game with John Cena in it, mainly because I stopped playing WWE games around the time it was WWF. So
that's fine.
That was a bajillion years ago.
This one looks like a spiritual successor to All Stars, which was the last like arcadey one with over the top like finishing moves. And like,
that was fun to watch. Yeah. I think I watched my brother play that one.
That one's great.
Yeah,
it's light. It's a lot lighter than your typical sim. But WWE 2K20 was so bad.
It was so horrid.
It was so bad. And that was because Yuke's went off, and I think they're doing an AEW game, and then it was Visual Concepts, I think, did most, if not all, of the dev on WWE 2K20, and it was just a disaster. The GIFs and videos that came out showing just how bad that game was, it's a good thing they're taking a year off.
Yeah, they might need it. So it's going to be a lighter year. They did, Mike said, you know, Chimera Squad just came out. And as of today, Civ 6's Frontier Pass, which is a number of scheduled out DLC packs, which will eventually culminate into a bigger DLC, I think.
And that's kind of the big question, because this is normally the year we would get a new Firaxis game, if you look at the scheduling.
Yes.
And...
But we don't have an announcement for... the next Civ, which I don't expect, quite frankly, for another handful of years, because there is such a long cycle in between them. Because remember, Civ 5 came out in 2010, and we got Civ 6, what, 2018?
No, it was earlier than that.
Was it?
It's 2016, I think. That game's like 4 years old.
Lies.
No, I reviewed it for Mashable in 2016.
No, I think you reviewed it in 2017.
I think I reviewed it in 2016.
I think you're lying.
It's entirely possible. We're going to actually look this up now, because we just cannot.
We literally can't.
You have to go to the store page.
I know, I'm going to go to the store page. So I'm clicking around right now.
You're getting a look into our relationship.
Oh, no, it was 2016. I take it all back. Oh,
shoot. I was right. You let me be right.
Oh, I've made a grievous error on this day.
All right. So it's been 3.5 years.
It's been 3.5 years. I give it another couple years before they're like, hey, we're going to make a new set.
I don't know. I expect that Firaxis, I mean, we talked about this with Chimera Squad and why Chimera Squad was so smart. Could be that they're working on XCOM 3. Could be that they're working on a new Civ. What we do know is this Frontier Pass is a set of bi-monthly content. So every other month we're going to get new drops. It's $40 and you get new Civs. New leaders, including a new version of Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm gonna wreck Roosevelt some more.
Yeah, check out Ready Player Mom for that's Amanda's streaming show for her Civ 6. She plays with our friend Sarah, and very cool stuff.
It's called Wreckin' History.
Wreckin' History now. They're doing a huge history thing. So just a quick plug for Ready Player Mom. So the Frontier Pass is a very interesting way for them to bridge and extend the life of Civ 6. That game has had two major expansions at this point. Yes. It's had a bunch of new Civs added. It's had a bunch of new leaders added. Now everything is kind of lumped into this Platinum Edition.
Yes.
And then there's the Frontier Pass. So right now they've streamlined it. So you either buy the Standard Edition, which is just the base game.
Don't buy the Standard Edition.
Yeah, buy the Platinum Edition. That's the other thing. Civ 6 is the free game on the Epic Games Store this week. And that's going to be huge. And now they're selling all the DLC. So you can get a Platinum Edition upgrade. If you claim the game for free on Epic Games Store this week, the Platinum Edition upgrade is $40.
And that ain't bad.
It's amazing. If you are new to Civ, this is the time to jump in. Claim it for free on Epic Games Store. Spend the $40. You get both big expansions. You get all the leaders, all the races.
Gathering Storm is worth it. The climate change stuff is really, really cool.
It's really neat.
This isn't a video game podcast, Michael.
No, it's not. But the interesting... So here's the thing. So Civ 6 especially has had this really wonderful life. This Frontier Pass gives the game another year of life. Yes. You can buy the stuff individually. There's leaders and stuff. They're adding new modes. There's going to be some free add-ons. It's a very smart way to take a game that already has a huge community and just... minimize your development time. Yes, all these Civs do need to be balanced. The leaders need to be balanced and all of that. But you're not building a whole new game. They can't all be Wilfrid Laurier. No, they cannot all be Wilfrid Laurier.
From Canada.
I know. I watched Ready Player Mom.
Yeah, that was a lot of wrecking, Teddy.
So the Frontier Pass should help smooth things out.
Yeah.
So will NBA 2K.
Because NBA 2K, we cannot stress this enough. It is... an enormous seller. It is a live service game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of the same things that EA does with their sports games, but it's like that community is so passionate and it's really quite amazing what they do with their esports too.
And it's one of the places where loot boxes work, just like with FIFA and Madden. They have their own ultimate team like
It's weird.
With cards.
It's weird. It shouldn't work.
The reason why it does is because the analog between basketball cards in physical form and basketball cards digitally is so thin.
Wait a second. There are basketball cards?
Yes.
That's an actual thing?
That's an actual thing.
I thought that was a made-up thing.
No, just like there are baseball cards and football cards and hockey cards.
Okay, but I'm only familiar with sports puck. I don't play sports ball.
I know. So, also Grand Theft Auto Online and Red Dead Redemption Online, those are going to help smooth things out. The other thing that's going to really help is Take-Two's going big on Switch in the next couple of months. BioShock Thank collection.
Goodness.
Borderlands collection that does not include Borderlands 3. That gets you Borderlands 1, Borderlands 2, and Borderlands the pre-sequel, plus all the DLC.
Listen, the most important pieces of this are not that. Although I love the BioShock collection. The big stuff is the XCOM 2 collection.
Yes.
Which we will lose our husband to, probably immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds is coming to Switch.
It is.
That's bonkers.
Now, I have not played that game all the way through. It's one of the ones that I, on my short list of, hey, Footer, get back to this.
I adore.
I know you did.
That game. I'm telling you, during my sabbatical in December, that's pretty much all I did was play Outer Worlds. Yeah.
Let's see. And they have Disintegration coming out on June 16th.
That's another one that looks really cool.
So, and that's by Marcus Leto, who was on the Halo team.
Yeah.
And
that's through Private Division.
And that's Private Division as well. PGA Tour is coming out in August.
Is it weird that I'm a little excited about that?
No, be excited for it.
I haven't played a good golf game.
Love what you
game.
Love.
I haven't played a good golf game since like Lynx.
Well, there you go.
So I wouldn't.
I used to sit in the back office in my dad's store and play golf. So
I mean, I love golf games, yeah. Man.
So I guess we're playing golf games.
I guess we're gonna play some golf games. All right. So, but let's talk about why this next financial year for Take-Two is going to be so light. One of the big things that ended up happening that we heard about yesterday was Kerbal Space Program 2 being significantly delayed. This is their second delay.
Yes, it was originally supposed to be out in early 2020, and then it was delayed to sometime this fiscal year, which is April 1, 2020 to March 31, 2021. Now it's not due until fall 2021. What they have said is that this is due to COVID.
We can't really speculate. We don't really know what's going on with their development cycle. I mean, working under quarantine is really difficult.
It is.
We will absolutely give that as a concession, but sure. I don't know.
But we're talking about another delay that is no less than 6 months, because if it had come out on the last day of the fiscal year, March 31st, 2019, and we're talking fall 2021... or yeah, March 31st, 2021...
Which is
Q3. Right. So then down to September... You know, that's 6 months in there. So this is a delay of at least another 6 months.
Which, look, I mean, Kerbal Space Program is an exceptional game. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about Kerbal Space Program 2 over on Super Parent, you know, like what they're doing differently, how they're improving accessibility so that dummies like me can go sit down with our very smart children. Mm-hmm. And while they do literal rocket science, I can sit back and be like, oh, I understand. Oh, I could probably maybe play this and not blow up. I will 100% blow up.
So, right. And I think that's the challenging part is that Kerbal is so pinned to real world physics.
Yes.
And that's a big consideration. They're also talking about, and this is the big thing that excites me about Kerbal Space Program 2, is the onboarding in the campaign is going to be such that, like, if I don't want to sit down, and there are some great influencers and streamers out there that
Seriously.
Do very smart educational Kerbal stuff. Like, if I don't want to sit down and watch those, I need some other way through the game itself to onboard me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
so
their onboarding process, the way that they're changing it is, again, their emphasis has been on, for Kerbal Space Program 2, making sure that they're widening their net so that it's not as narrowly focused as the original was. Because Kerbal's such a cool game. Everyone should be playing it. But man, that game is intimidating as heck.
It really is. So just to run through a couple more things, as we talked about, GTA 5 has sold more than 130 million units. Just to put a little bit more emphasis on that, that does not include everybody who claimed it last week on the Epic Games Store.
No, it does not.
So, which is a bunch of people, I have no doubt. And why would they do that? Why would they just give away this game that is still selling like gangbusters, Manda?
GTA Online.
That's right.
It is such a big game. We keep coming back to it because it's super, super important to remember that GTA Online is their cash cow. So if they are not coming out with a new GTA game anytime soon, GTA Online and being able to distribute it on an additional storefront for free is going to bring bring a lot of potential players that are already playing Fortnite and everything like that into the fold of, oh, okay, well, I'm like 17 years old and all right, I kind of want to play a Grand Theft Auto game because I'm almost old enough to play it. So I'm going to play GTA Online too. Oh, this is really cool. Oh, I'm sucked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a smart monetization scheme there. But yeah, even though I redeemed it, I still don't think I'm going to play it. Oh. It's not LA Noire.
No. Well, and let's see. Red Dead 2 has sold 31 million units.
Not surprising.
NBA 2K20 has sold 12 million, which is up 33% from NBA 2K19.
Love it.
Borderlands 3 is selling 50% faster than Borderlands 2 at this point in its life cycle.
Okay,
so it's
cool.
Doing well.
That's good.
They just
good
announced
them.
A new Wild West themed DLC today for Borderlands 3. Whatever I haven't touched that game, so I don't have a whole lot of frame of reference.
Whatever floats their collective boat. And Outer Worlds, it, of course, my darling, has sold 2.5 million copies, which is Private Division's top seller. All right, so in comparison to the other games, I'm sure it seems like it is a paltry sum. But remember that Outer Worlds came out in November of 2019. Was it November or December? Might have been December. Or the tail end of November. I don't remember. But there I rhymed. That was totally not on purpose. But remember that Outer Worlds is, it's a smaller experience. It's a single player experience. It's very different, but also very familiar. And if you want to know more of my thoughts about Outer Worlds, you should, you know, at me on Twitter, and we can scream about Outer Worlds at each other for a little while.
It came out on October 25th of 2019.
I was wrong all the way around.
And it was the New Vegas spiritual successor that we all wanted and needed.
It was so good. I'm not a huge fan of the first-person Fallout games because I'm an old lady and a curmudgeon, and I just want more isometric Fallout games because I'm cranky like that. But I loved the Outer Worlds. Like, I cannot say more positive things about it than I have pretty much everywhere on the internet. I love it.
So that's 2K. They had a really great year. I don't expect this year to be quite as oomph-tastic.
No, they
but
don't.
But their recurrent spending, and this is a theme that you and I have talked about a lot, recurrent spending through in-game purchases, whether that's on mobile, console, PC, those are big drivers for companies. And that's the kind of thing that carries them through a lighter, you know, marquee release year.
Usually. And we're going to get into that with Ubisoft.
What a great segue.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Let's start with the good news?
Yes, let's start with the good news. So the good news about Ubisoft is that Ubisoft sold 11 games during this console generation, sold more than 10 million units, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, it's fantastic. Ubi has done some really cool stuff. They have some great games. They had... Have?
Have. This is
have. This is a have. So they have 5 AAA games planned for this year, including Watch Dogs 3, Legion. Hello, put it in my veins directly. Watch Dogs 2 is legitimately one of my favorite games. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I know very little about, but it's an Assassin's Creed game. So
and last
also
on the list was my joke.
Was also an excellent, you know, put it in my veins kind of game. And of course, Mike and I, it's not just you that wants another Splinter Cell. It's me too. Okay. I love me some
But I just wanted to make sure you knew that I threw that in the show notes as a joke.
It's literally in the show notes. It says, ha, ha, ha. Okay, thanks, Joker. Oh my God. Okay, so anyway, they have 5 AAA games planned for this year. And that's that's really the only good news that I have, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. They had a light year.
No, Mike, they had a catastrophic year. And any other company, any other publisher, any other AAA developer, studio, whatever, would look at these earnings and be like, how are you not bankrupt? So it was a bad year, a very bad year for Ubisoft. And I don't revel in that. We've definitely been big advocates for the way that Ubi handles, you know, technology adoption. They're usually early adopters. They understand the live service business model. But man, did they have like a heartbreakingly bad year.
Yeah.
Like, so this is the year. We're looking at the year. We're not looking at Q4 because quite frankly, Q4 is just not interesting all by itself because it's just more bad news. So we're just going to go into a few of the numbers. So for fiscal year 2019, I believe.
Every company names it differently. It's the fiscal year that started on April 1st, 2019 and ended on March 31st.
So I think it's fiscal year 19 through 20. I think that's what we're looking at. And now we are currently in fiscal year 20 through 21.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Now that we've established that, they were down 24.4% in net bookings.
That's rough.
That's a big ouch.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge ouch.
But it isn't the ouchiest ouch.
It is not the ouchiest ouch. We're getting there. We're going to build to that. They are down 13%, so minus 13% in IFRS sales. Now, IFRS is the European version of GAAP.
International Financial Reporting Standard. And the big difference between them is that IFRS is based on principles, so guidelines, essentially. Okay. And GAAP is based on hard rules.
Okay, got
so
it.
So that's the big difference. So GAAP is guidelines and procedures. IFRS is just principles. But you'll see European companies, Ubisoft in particular, you know, they use IFRS instead of GAAP.
Yep, makes sense. So anyway, they were down 13.6% on IFRS sales, down 9.7% in digital net bookings.
That's surprising.
That is definitely surprising because a lot of their games are... They have a longer tail because of the digital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's shocking to me. But the most shocking of this, and I needed Mike to come and like check my math because I looked at these numbers last night. I'm like, am I reading this right? This isn't right, is it? This can't be right. No, this is not a thing, but it's a thing. All right. So buckle up. This is like the bad of the bad. They are down. Ubisoft is down. Minus 92.3% in non-IFRS operating income. So what that means is they are down 92.3% in profit from operations.
Yeah.
From year over year. So the numbers are fiscal year 19 to 20 was 34.2 million euros in non-IFRS operating income versus fiscal year 18-19, which was 446 million euro. Oh my God. That's why I needed a sanity check last night when we were pulling together these notes. Like, my heart just broke. Ubisoft has done some really cool stuff. They really, really have. They have built some of my favorite games. I know I say that everything's my favorite game. I'm also an unmitigated hype monster, which I don't get to be on this podcast, but I do get to be that on the Engaged Family Gaming podcast, like, all the time.
I mean, look, the beautiful thing is, like, obviously we ran the numbers, but at the top of their press release, like, it says right here, negative 92.3% as the reported change versus 2018-2019.
That's tough. And I mean, that level of transparency that they're like, well, we have to be this transparent. Mm-hmm. We're publicly traded, so this is the way it has to go. So, Mike, let's talk a little bit. Actually, before we get into some reasons behind why things are just so catastrophically bad, I'm going to read a statement from their chief financial officer.
Who's relatively new.
Yeah, I don't think he has a ton of time with the company.
I'm just looking real quickly at their press releases because I saw it when I was looking through. It was October 2018. So he hasn't been there for that year and a half.
Okay. So this is definite. Ooh, this is going to be testing him. So Frederic Dugette is the chief financial officer. And this is the statement that he had for their earnings. Quote, as expected, our financial results for the full year finished well below our initial expectations. However, it is important to note our strong fourth quarter performance. I mean, okay, yes, they did have some good stuff going on for fourth quarter. It just wasn't that interesting. Starting mid-March, the lockdown led to a sharp increase in player engagement worldwide, which is, we've talked to a number of our interview subjects about player engagement being the currency of the pandemic.
Yep.
But even at the beginning of the fourth quarter, our operating trends already were higher than expected thanks to our team's remarkable execution. Love that nod. The intense levels of activity for our games in both live content and esports events, combined with the highly effective acquisition strategies helped... acquisition strategies, I like that. Yeah. Helped several of our titles to be remarkably successful. This is the case for Rainbow Six Siege. Yes, absolutely. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Mm-hmm. People are still playing that game. It's still brilliant. Cassandra for Life. The Division 2, which had DLC that came out last year and was fairly successful. And Just Dance 2020, which is my personal darling. I have played a lot of Just Dance 2020 this year. We are also encouraged to see players' excellent response to our latest updates to Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Which, whew, that stumbled out of the gate.
It really did. And it's unfortunate because it looked so cool.
Yeah.
I think I have to just, I just have to give it up for Ghost Recon. I haven't enjoyed a Ghost Recon in a number of years. Yeah. So.
And that was a big release for them that came out July of last year.
And it was a big stinker, unfortunately.
So,
look. Let's talk about what happened then, Mike. Walk us through.
Okay, so Division 2, that DLC did really well. Took us back to New York. All Yay! That stuff, which really, I think their acquisition, that when they talk about their acquisition strategy there, awesome. That did really well. They continue to reinvigorate Rainbow Six Siege with every new season, you know, new operator releases, new map releases, operator reworks, all of that stuff.
In addition to a lot of their efforts around esports and their teams.
Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed, you know, it continued. Like, there was a... You know,
there was nothing major that came out in the... In this fiscal year at all.
No, I think the DLC... Well, you and I looked this up. The DLC was done. Yeah, it was done by the time...
Yes.
The fiscal year, the last fiscal year closed.
Yes.
So, you know, and Just Dance, now they've got their subscription program.
Which I did a month of, I think.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
Yeah, it's neat.
It's worth it because you get to go back and you get to play all of the songs from a number of different Just Dance games. I think it goes all the way back to, like, 2016.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Which is amazing.
But there are some things that didn't happen this year that we're supposed to. So, Gods and Monsters is still AWOL.
I don't even know what's going on with that game. They haven't had there hasn't been an update in what? Almost
2 years?
No. We saw an update last year.
Because I thought they said there wasn't going to be, like, I think they were on stage and said no update.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. I think that they weren't ready to show anything at E3 last year. I think we saw it at E3 2018.
That very well may be true.
Oh, no. Sorry. I'm mistaken. There was a full reveal presentation at E3 2022. You are correct. Okay,
so that's what I thought. Yes, we did see something about Gods and Monsters last E3. I was in the audience last year. But we haven't really heard anything since then. And normally, Ubisoft is not... Like, they follow two very distinct schools of thought when it comes to sharing for development. They are either fully transparent, and they're like, hey, this is what we're up to, this is what we're doing, we want to get the community very excited, like they're doing with AC Valhalla. Or they are tight-lipped and they don't want to share anything at all. So Gods and Monsters hasn't had any kind of major news coming out of it since last E3.
Yep.
The other thing was Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Yeah, so that didn't happen either.
That's another one that went into very question mark status after E3 2019, because I think that that's when we saw initial... information about it.
In fact, here's the thing. At E3 2019, Gods and Monsters actually had a fixed launch date. They announced February 25th of 2020. So obviously that didn't happen. So that got delayed out of the fiscal year. Rainbow Six Quarantine got delayed out of the fiscal year. Watch Dogs Legion.
Which is heartbreaking.
Was supposed to be early 2020.
It was supposed to be March 2020. And then when they pushed it back, I was like, okay, well, you know, what are you going to do? And then I remember you telling me, no, they didn't just push it back to Fall Hun. They pushed it back to next March. And I'm like, what?
So we know it's on target for this fiscal year now.
Yes. So that should help.
That game's challenging. From a narrative perspective, that game is really challenging because you're bouncing between different operatives.
Whereas in Watch Dogs, the first two Watch Dogs games, you were playing as just a fixed operative. It was, you were just playing as one dude.
Yeah, Aiden wasn't great.
No, Aiden kind of sucked. And I can't remember.
Marcus, was it?
I think it was Marcus. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Loved Watch Dogs 2. What a brilliant experience. And I wrote extensively, I think it was my first like professional piece over on Mashable about Watch Dogs 2 and the importance of hacktivism. The other thing that was delayed was Roller Champions, which was like their roller derby game. That game looked brilliant.
Yeah, it's still in closed alpha. And that's a game that I could see monetizing in different ways. Again, very cosmetic driven.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want to play that game.
Yeah, me too. So that's four games that were supposed to release in that fiscal year that got bumped.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot. That's not just one AAA game. That's a handful of them.
I mean, that's your marquee. That's a marquee pillar franchise at this point in Watch Dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, same thing with Rainbow Six.
So there was no... I mean, there was new Rainbow Six content.
But there was new Rainbow Six Siege content. Right. Quarantine isn't Siege.
Yeah, I'm still not entirely clear on what Quarantine is, but I'm interested.
From what I understand, Quarantine is its own experience. It's not, I don't think it's part of Siege.
Okay. Cool. So, no Watch Dogs.
Nope.
No Assassin's Creed.
Nope.
No Prince of Persia.
Nope. You just snuck that one right in there. There hasn't been a Prince of Persia in like 15 years. Holy crap. That's surprise. We're talking about Prince of Persia. All right, listen.
So that's a big piece of what's been going on. And yeah, you've got Rainbow Six, and yeah, you've got For Honor. But in terms of the kind of service games that, if we're going to compare,
I always forget For Honor exists.
Right. If we're gonna compare to something like Take Two, which has a GTA Online, or an EA that's got your Madden and your FIFA. And even your NHL that has those really strong through lines on recurrent spending, Ubisoft doesn't really have that.
No.
I mean, Anno released this year. Anno 1800 released this year, but
it was critically acclaimed. Yes. Everybody loved Anno.
But that's not a game that's really big in North America.
No, that's a big in Europe game, just like, you know, Farming Simulator, Truck Simulator, or stuff like that. You know, it's disappointing because Ubisoft does a lot of things right. They do a lot of things with real gusto and aplomb. But, man, finding that through line. I mean, there was a time when Assassin's Creed was like a yearly thing. But the quality of the games took a real nosedive.
Yeah, and the quality of the games took a real jump as soon as they started giving the teams a little bit more time. Origins, exactly. Odyssey, and what I expect out of Valhalla.
Valhalla looks good.
So here's the thing. This was a bad year for Ubisoft. But those four games, even if only two of them come out, as long as Watch Dogs is one of them, as long as Watch Dogs and one other of those games comes out, and especially if it's Rainbow Six Siege, let's hope that all four of them...
Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Rainbow Six Quarantine. Plus Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla is going to sell gangbusters. Assassin's Creed always sells gangbusters.
Yep. So we could be looking at an enormous year for Ubisoft. So,
which, fingers crossed, I hope is the case. And the reason why I'm nervous is because usually when we see like, oh my God, their profit was way down, the first thing that we jump to is, oh no, layoffs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm concerned about. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. There currently aren't any rumblings that we've heard from our sources at the various Ubisoft studios around the world, but usually the way that Ubisoft handles layoffs has been fairly humane.
Yeah. My hope is that because there is so much in the pipeline that's due out this year, including Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs, that this is just,
that Tencent money too.
Right. You know, they take a broader look and be like, yeah, we had a down year, but we know we're making up for it this year. And the year before was good.
But they didn't just have a down year. This is probably one of the worst years I've seen from them in a long, long time.
And, you know, just shout out to Ubisoft, as we have with a number of other developers and publishers. They gave away, I think there were three games that they gave away.
Yep.
According to this, their Play Your Part, Play at Home campaign, which was part of the whole Play Apart Together. I think there were 9 million keys claimed, plus both Discovery Tours. AC
are
Origins.
Free.
Yeah, they're free. I think that deal has expired at this point.
Not
for educators, but for everybody, they were free. So if you wanted to roam around Egypt in AC Origins without combat, or if you wanted to roam around
it's not just with no combat. This is actually educational, believe it or not. Like, I've been through the Discovery Tour. Ubisoft was really wonderful and invited me out to the big reveal for the Discovery Tour out in New York, and that was in like 2018, I think. That was back in 2018 before they actually launched it. This is a full educational experience. You walk around as pretty much anybody. You're like, oh, I want to be a villager, or I want to look like the main character from
Bayek.
I want to look like Bayek or Bayek's wife, who is like super pretty. She has great hair. I have a problem. I just really like women in Assassin's Creed, like so much. Like Cassandra. But you can walk around as pretty much anybody that's in the game. You're not fighting anyone, but you're also walking up to these stalls and you're learning about things. Mm-hmm. You can like do this guided tour, or you can just wander around and you can check really cool stuff out, and you can like click on things and point to things and you could read stuff. Like, it's cool. It's like being in a museum, but it's an
especially because we can't go to museums right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, big thanks to all the developers and publishers that are participating in making sure that people can play stuff if they've lost jobs, if they just have time on their hands.
You know, continuing to raise money to help people as well, to help the communities at large, and to help the medical community and stuff like that. You know, I know that the industry itself can be really down on itself and on consumers sometimes, and like everything feels really tumultuous, but the game industry and the gaming community is full of so many wonderful people that genuinely just want to help. And whenever we have to come together to raise a lot of money, it's pretty great.
Yep.
Almost everybody steps up. All right. So let's talk about Embracer Group.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
They had a good year.
They had a great year.
Shout out to Mark.
Oh, that's going to hurt every time.
Every single time.
Okay,
lest
then
we forget, though.
No, we will not be forgetting that anytime soon. Yep. All right, so full year revenue for Embracer Group for its games was up 31%.
Yep.
But that didn't necessarily translate to revenue.
No, it was really interesting to see what happened with them. Their total revenue was only up 3%, and their net profit was down 10%, but here's why. So remember back when THQ Nordic, which is what it was called at the time, purchased Koch Media Group, which includes Deep Silver. So one of the reasons why, and I think we wrote about this at the time, that the Koch purchase was really smart is because Koch is a major, like the major distributor in Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
So they've got relationships with Square Enix and a number of other companies.
So if you want your game to move in Europe, you have to go talk to Koch Media.
Yep, and now that's owned by Embracer Group, formerly THQ Nordic AB. However, partner publishing and their film distribution, because they also have a film, they also made some film purchases in there as well, that's down, and that was largely due to COVID-19. Remember, as we've seen physical goods more constrained simply because people weren't going out and digital went up. So that's why that piece of
the supply chain is also a little bit messed up, because we're trying to get, you know, really important supplies in the places they're supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So partner publishing was actually down 23%.
That's a fairly significant dip.
It is. And we'll see what happens this year. I expect that that's going to come back up, but it's It's important to see, because this is the thing. We're going to see some kind of, I don't want to say normalization, but we're going to see some kind of readjustment back once the economies start opening and people are able to move more freely. They also announced that they have more than 118 games in development. And why do we see numbers like this being trotted out?
Because I don't understand why publishers think that this is a feather in their collective cap. That's a scary number.
It is. And I think Take-Two trotted out an equal, I think it was 80-something games by 2025. It's an investor thing. It's like, hey, don't worry. We're thinking about the future.
We're on the long tail,
yeah,
guys.
We've got content plans moving forward. Also, those huge expense numbers for R&D, that's where they're going.
So let's talk about some of those expenses. So the big reminder here is that Embracer Group did purchase Saber Interactive in February for an astonishing, although not unwarranted, value of $525 million. Yeah. Totally warranted. Saber Interactive is amazing.
We've been playing World War Z with Adam, Adam Rosenberg, every Thursday night for the past couple weeks. We're enjoying the heck out of it. I love Saber.
It's really scratching that Left 4 Dead itch.
And Saber did the Switcher port, didn't they?
I believe so, yes. They also did the Ghostbusters.
Oh, and that was so good. I mean,
they did Ghostbusters as well. So, I mean, like, Saber's done some super cool stuff. And Matt Karch is a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I've had the pleasure of speaking with him extensively about Saber Interactive and, like, how they were able to stay as independent as they were for as many years as they did. Man, Embracer offered up a tidy sum to latch onto Saber's incredible pedigree.
Yep, so it was a smart move.
It was really, really smart. And so what else have they done this year?
They are also, they've been on an acquisition spree since the THQ deal that happened in 2014. They ramped up kind of slowly. I think they've changed their perspective when I first talked to them right when that acquisition happened. Because remember, nobody really knew anything about Nordic Games when they purchased all of the the lower tier THQ back catalog. And then brought it all back together. They also had that really interesting, like, IP swap with Deep Silver.
That was weird.
It made a lot of sense. They unified, it was really just unifying some of, like, the classic Deep Silver IPs that they picked up. Or the classic THQ IPs that they picked up that were from the same studio. It was really interesting. So, you know, they've been on an acquisition spree since then. I think that they have now shifted gears. They are interested in AAA. They are more interested in spreading things out. So you're going to see more classic games. We're going to see more remasters from their back catalog. So they are also going to be, they're going to still acquire. They have $164 million that they've pulled together
that's for new acquisitions. That's going to be in their war chest.
Yeah. So expect that Embracer Group is going to continue on the acquisition path. You know, I think that it's interesting. I don't, you know, Darksiders 3 did okay.
It did okay. Critically, it was kind of lukewarm. I think in terms of its reception from gamers in general, I think it was mostly positive. Like, people mostly liked it. I don't know. I was kind of lukewarm on it myself, even though I really like Fury. I think she's cool. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And then Darksiders Genesis, which was their action RPG that... was Strife and War, I think, were the two characters you could play in that.
Yeah, there's no Fury. Why am I even bothering? I just really like her hair.
So they have other... I mean, there's other stuff in the hopper. Biomutant is still... And that could be really cool. That game looks
neat. That game has a ton of potential. Mm-hmm. It really, really does. There's so many games. Like, we can't really pick out the good ones versus the ones that we think are definitely going to have
potential. Wasteland 3 looks excellent.
Okay, I feel like you're stomping on me saying that we shouldn't be picking out
specific Well, you were games. The one who was talking about first-person Fallout games versus isometric, and I'm just saying that Fallout essentially was born from the womb of Wasteland.
So. Why are you like this? I have too many video games. Stop doing this to me. All right, we got one more.
One more, and it's just a quick hit. Footnote. It's a footnote. It's a footer note. NetEase. In their most recent quarter, saw revenues climb to $2.4 billion. What I pulled this because that's up more than 18% year over year.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so I know that a lot of people tend to hate on NetEase, but NetEase is, like, they're just capitalizing on what people want.
You know, when Diablo Immortal eventually comes out, I'm gonna rip that scab right off right now. When Diablo Immortal actually eventually comes out, NetEase is going to be rolling in it. Because even if our peers, our friends, the consumers, the players...
Consumers in North America.
In North America.
And in the West in general.
Don't love it. That game is gonna make bank.
That game is going to make serious amounts of money. It also is going to include in a larger variety of players that maybe have never been exposed to a Diablo game before. And that makes me really sad. I've been playing Diablo since, like, the first one came out, despite how horribly inappropriate it was at the time. For my age, because at the time, I think it was like 9 or 10, maybe. Maybe I was 11. I don't know. I was our eldest son's age. Would you let our eldest son play Diablo?
You know, it depends on the day.
And with that, this has been episode 22 of Virtual Economy. So thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our very special episode about financials, where we got real nerdy about the numbers.
We did. And we will continue to do that every quarter. We'll just pull these episodes out separately because they're fun. You can follow us on the Twitters at Virtual Econcast. I am at Footerish, FUTTERISH.
And I'm at Amanda Farrow. You can also subscribe to us on our RSS feed if this is your first time hanging out with us. Welcome to the weird and wacky world of Virtual Economy.
You sure picked an episode, huh, friend?
Yeah, we got real nerdy on this episode and, like, way into those weeds with the numbers. Anyway, so if this is your first time, you can subscribe to our RSS feed. We are virtualeconomy.libsyn. That's libsyn.com/RSS. You can listen to us on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podcast Addicts, Pocket Cast.
Hey, another podcast! No, that's not.
That's not a thing. Stop pitching podcast apps. This is not the... I'm going to have a conversation with him. Anyway... If you are brand new or you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love it if you would subscribe and, if possible, review the show. Let us know what you think. You can DM us, you can send us emails, and as it turns out, you can also do that for sending us questions.
Yes, you can send an email to podcast@fsquared.biz, and again, if you want to DM us, our Twitter name is @virtualeconcast. Virtual Economy is an F-Squared initiative, and along with pro bono business consulting for up-and-coming developers, it's a way we are working to give back to the community. To find out more about F-Squared and the services we can provide, including pitch prep, media training, mock reviews, and business strategy guidance, visit our website at fsquared.biz. That's fsquared.biz. There, you will find out more about... Amanda's laughing so hard right now. I wish you could all see it. It's the best thing. She cracks up every time I spell something.
It's so funny. He's just like, he has this broadcaster voice. just a funniest damn thing.
Well, that about wraps it up for a long week here at Virtual Economy. This all is right. Our third episode of the week.
We're tired.
We will be back next week. We actually are working on lining up an interview guest right now, but man, I am super excited for the interview guest we have coming in, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. We're not going to spoil it.
No,
but
it's big alert.
It's going to be interesting. I'm very excited. And then we'll be back with our news show next Thursday. But in the meantime, wash your hands, stay hydrated, and be good to one another.
We'll see you next week.